Hey, it's Marty Patrick. We're out here at the Public House. Let's bring in from the Chronicle, Ann Killian. Ann, welcome to Weekends in the Park telephonically.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Well, glad to have you here. And you've been so prolific, my goodness, over the Warriors and the women's soccer. And now you're back to baseball. You've had quite a to me, it's still winter. I don't know what season it is. But whatever you've had, it's been quite prolific.
It's been a really fun year. Oh my goodness. You know, I mean, I had every Giants game in October, which was unbelievable. And then we got that NBA run. And I did almost all of those games as well. And that is so long, it makes the baseball playoffs look like child's play. I mean, you know, 2 full months of the Warriors, which was, you know, unbelievable. And then a little women's soccer, which was wildly popular in this country, as always. And, it was fun to be out there Friday night and finally get back to baseball.
What do you think about this team just sizing up the Giants here at the end of July with a brutal August going forward? This team's kind of rounding into form, don't you think, Ann? Or what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think they're in a perfect position. I fully expect the odd even thing to be broken this year. I expect them. I don't think they'll win the World Series again, but I think they'll make the playoffs. They play with so much confidence, and you know, obviously everyone in the world has so much confidence in Bochy making the right decisions, in the second half, and they just, you know, what's not to like about this team? I mean, yeah, there's some issues with the starting pitching, the back end of the starting rotation, but you know, everything that you see on the field is just, it looks like a team that won a World Series 9 months ago. So what's not to like?
Well, the only thing you could say, maybe the starting pitching. You know, people do talk about it. Tim Hudson goes today. We've seen so many of his starts. It's 474 today for him. And is there a little pressure on him today, maybe to at least show that he's still got it as a 40-year-old and he's over the effects of his birthday party and he can go out and give him six innings and get it done?
Yeah, I think there's pressure on him. I think that when you have Ryan Vogelsong sitting there in the bullpen, obviously a guy who can come back into the rotation at any minute. I think there's pressure on him. He hasn't been good, and they really can't really afford to have a weak link. And when you're 40, it's not too hard to figure out some reason you would go onto the DL. So, I think there's pressure on him for sure.
And Killian from the Chronicle here, joining Marty and myself here, Weekends in the Park. Just looking at the green and gold here, boy. Scott Kazmir, he gets traded to Houston for a couple of guys that'll be up in 2019, and it's so frustrating. It's like Billy says, well, we had to get something for him. Well, why wasn't re-signing him an option? It's just so frustrating being a fan of baseball in the Bay Area, and especially if you're an A's fan.
Yeah, I think it's really hard duty being an A's fan, and you know, it just, it's kind of depressing. I mean, they've had this really good team for the last couple of years with a great manager. I think Bob Melvin is a terrific manager, which is something that even in their good teams before they didn't necessarily have. And now they have a guy that you have faith in to lead this team. And yet, I mean, obviously, I'm not that upset about the Kazmir thing because you could see it coming. The thing that really, really was hard to digest and still is was the Donaldson thing. Because that was, you know, he was not going to be a free agent. And they still chose to take him away from the team after he blossomed into one of the best players in the league. And, you know, just when you have seven All-Stars in 2014 and you've traded six of them in the last year, it's very hard to stomach. And it's just, I mean, as a writer, it's kind of enjoyable to see the complete, you know, that we have two teams that do things so completely differently in the exact same sport that makes, you know, comparing and contrasting kind of enjoyable as from a writing standpoint, but it's not really enjoyable to see the same story being played out season after season after season with the A's. And you just got to wonder when or if it's going to change. I get real tired of them crying poor and when we know what kind of money they're getting through revenue sharing.
Exactly.
I the the Wolf Fisher ownership has done everything it can to drive fans away and not encourage them to come to the ballpark. And then Billy does everything as a manager to rip up whatever loyalty there is, because let's face it, you know, most people get attached to a team because of their players. It's not enough just to have the colors of the team. You gotta have some reason you want to, you know, get, I mean, I know little kids now, tons of little kids who are all of a sudden Toronto Blue Jays fans because Josh Donaldson was their favorite player. And, you know, that's the way kids think. They don't just say, oh, I like the colors, I'm going to root for the A's because, you know, my dad told me to. They need something to attach to. And it's hard. The A's, you know, whose jersey would you buy? I'd buy Raleigh Fingers, you know. The only thing you can buy are throwback jerseys.
Maybe Ken Korak. Maybe
you get sure.
Well, maybe Billy Bean, you know. Right. He's the man that makes it all happen.
He's well, the star.
He owns a team, and he's going to be there. No one's getting rid of him, and that's the story. And looking at the Hall of Fame class today, and we spent a lot of time on it. We've had some great comments from Dave Rigetti and John Miller and Tim Hudson and Dwayne Kuiper. What a class going in. Maybe some of your thoughts, some memories of the group going in. I'd love to have you share that with us.
Well, I like this group. You know, Smoltz obviously is someone that, you know, was such a big part of some of the great teams that never really you know, did that much in the postseason, but you know, what a staff they had. And I've always been a huge Pedro Martinez fan. Maybe, you know, I'm a fan of anyone who's undersized for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But you know, he was such a competitor and fiery, and you know, I'm an even bigger fan of him now with his comments over the weekend about the Colin Cowherd stuff. And he's extremely articulate and smart and a battler. So yeah, I think it's a cool class. I'm pretty sure I voted for all of them in this class. So yeah, you know, right on. I'm not going to be there at the induction, even though Randy Johnson is a local kid, but yeah, it should be. It's a good class. You know, the Hall of Fame's always fun.
Love the diversity amongst the pitchers too. One's from Livermore, like you talk about. One's from Detroit, who started and closed, and then one's from the Dominican. It's just real neat. And I got to ask you, because we are in San Francisco, obviously, and it's something that's kind of a bugaboo for me, is that in 2013, Bonds was right there with Biggio as first time balloters, and Biggio is nice, very good ball player. He never really captured my imagination. It's hard for me to really get into this class, though, because Bonds, we all know the number, seven-time MVP. It's hard for me to look at Bonds not being there. Where do you come down, Ann?
Yeah, I don't vote for him. There's just too much evidence that he cheated. So, you know, sorry, T-Con. It says, you know, if they rework the ballot and take away what our requirements for voting are, and take the integrity and character clause out, then I'll think about it. But you know, right now, I mean, it's just, and don't give me the, oh, there's bad guys in the Hall of Fame. When you cheat the game, mm-hmm. when you cheat the very game you're trying to get into the Hall of Fame for, I think that's a pretty big offense.
Well, how about that, Pat?
Well, Gaylord Perry, he's there, and we all celebrate him. He's like the lovable uncle, right?
Yeah,
and Bonds is, there's nothing lovable about Bonds.
I was a kid at the time. I didn't vote for him.
It's not your fault, Dan. It's not your fault. Do you think, yeah. I mean, I understand where you're coming down, but amongst your members of the Writers Association, he's got, what, 6 years left to get voted in? What do you see in the future for Bonds?
You know, I don't know. I think it would really serve Barry if he came out and talked about it and was honest. You know, the fact that he's been in denial and you know, just had this implausible story that he didn't know what he was taking, is, you know, that's tough for me to swallow, knowing him and how he was about his body and how in control of his career he was. So, you know, America redeems people, and if you need to say you're sorry first, or you need to apologize, he hasn't gotten close to that. I think that would be probably his best bet for trying to get in. I know if it goes to a veterans committee, he's not getting in, because those guys really don't want any of the steroid people in, and they have been very adamant about that. So I don't know. You know, if it got to a point in five years and he had all of a sudden jumped way up in the balloting and my peers, my voting peers, could convince me, I'd be open to being convinced. I wouldn't want to be like the one voter who wouldn't let him in. Okay. But, you know, we're not even anywhere close to that. He's got like 32% of the vote or something like that. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm not alone in my feelings. Yeah, you know, but also the other thing I'll say is don't give me, it's a museum. How can you have a museum without Pete Rose and Barry Bonds in it? It's not a museum. There is a museum at Cooperstown, and there's plenty of Barry Bonds, including his baseball with the asterisk on it, in the museum, and Pete Rose is all over the museum, too. So this is a Hall of Fame of people who the game is honoring in a different way than just putting them in a museum. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. It's a sad chapter, just like the Pete Rose thing. It's a sad story. Baseball, the media got so much crap for not policing the game, and now we get crap for not voting in guys that we were supposed to have policed. So it's kind of a lose-lose for everyone.
Do you like that responsibility, Ann? Do you like the responsibility of voting on famers?
Do I like it?
Yeah.
I take it seriously. I know Baseball's Hall of Fame likes the way they're voting. As people talk about, you know, changing it all the time, why not have players vote, or why not have broadcasters vote, or why not have blah, blah, blah. But I know that the Hall of Fame people are perfectly happy with the way it's set up. So it is kind of what it is, to use a cliche. Mm-hmm. And I also know, you know, other people say, like, why doesn't, you know, like, John Miller vote for him? John Miller saw all of Barry Bonds's at bats, why doesn't he have the responsibility? Well, I've heard John Miller say that he would not vote for him because he thinks he disgraced the game. So, you know, I'm not sure if the voting was changed that the outcome would change. And certainly if you put it to a fan vote, I'm pretty sure Barry Bonds would not get in, because outside of San Francisco, most people don't think he should be in. So, you know, I don't know if I like responsibility, but I have it, and I'm not afraid to have it. So,
boy, beautiful. And yeah. Great. That's Ann Killian of the Chronicle. You enlightened me a little bit, something I'm going to use, and that it is a museum for that part of it, but it does honor the people of baseball. And that's a very good distinction, Ann. Very well done. Yeah. Hey, I love having you on. It's a pleasure. You added quite a bit this morning, so I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ann.
Thanks for having me on. Have fun at the game.
All right. We'll see you out here. Very good. That is Ann Killian of the Chronicle.